Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
We will be soon speaking to our guest for the hour, Beatrix Marks, who has written a beautiful book called Real Life Stories Never Have Endings. It's really a beautiful, beautiful book. So we'll be discussing that with her shortly. I should let you know that today's program is brought to us by the Camelac Center. A new consciousness is emerging in our planet. Their intention is aimed at changing the way that we look at death. The Camelac Center was founded in 2002. First as a publishing company, and then a teaching center. I really encourage you to go check out their website. It's a wonderful organization, and we thank them deeply for sponsoring this hour of Signs of Radio Light. I am your host, Angelina Diana. And before we do meet up with Beatrix, I just want to go through a few things that are happening with the foundation. Two events kind of stick out for me, and I certainly hope we will see you at them, as well as those events. We also have ongoing afterlife discussion groups all over the country. This group are actually free. You can invite a certain amount of people and discuss certain things about your beliefs in the afterlife. There's many different reasons why people would go to an afterlife discussion group. If you don't have one in your area, I do encourage you to listen to the Signs of Life Radio, the first Thursday of every month, where they do a beautiful hour of the gathering, and it somewhat has the same feel of an afterlife discussion group. So I encourage you to also please check that out. You'll really enjoy it. There are some events coming up with the foundation, one of them being Transforming Grief, Building a Bridge Between Two Worlds. It's an all-inclusive weekend. They'll discuss loss, grief, communication, how to really cope with the loss of a loved one. And it is really, truly the most difficult task any of us have to face. But this weekend retreat has brought, I always hear beautiful things about it. I was fortunate to do it 1 year, and I know it was a beautiful weekend of like-minded people coming together. There's beautiful celebrations of life in a way when you feel or get to see a connection from someone who has crossed over. But you also have wonderful mediums that will be there to discuss different points of view. It's really a well-rounded weekend, so I do encourage you to join them starting July 25th, going all the way to the 27th. So if you'd like more information on that, I encourage you to go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org for that. Another event that's coming up on July 29th in New York, it's called The Afterlife, A Scientist's View. Dr. Piero Calparsetti, I don't think my dad would be too fond of the way I pronounce that being Italian, but he will be doing a wonderful event on the 29th. He's a medical doctor, an afterlife researcher. And I do believe that there will be a medium joining for the second half of this. And I certainly hope you can check out those events and everything else that the foundation has to offer. The foundation has grown in leaps and bounds, and a lot of it is because of your support and how you support this not-for-profit. I'm encouraging everyone to go to the website because it is chock full of information. And one way you can make a donation there, you can just purchase something through iGive.com, and they will match a certain percentage of the sale to the Forever Family Foundation. Even if you were to click on a certain book that's listed and purchase it, they're part of the Amazon program as well there too. You can find them on Facebook, Twitter, all over the place. So I certainly encourage you to please go to the Forever Family Foundation website for all the wonderful information. Now, I know we're going to take a short break, but I do want to tell you a little bit about our guest that will be with us shortly. Her name is Beatrix Marks. Very interesting life, I must say. She was raised and born in France and then moved to Seattle, Washington. Isn't that an interesting thing right there? She worked in the corporate field for many, many years, both in the U.S. and in Europe, but she followed her gut and decided to follow her dreams. She studied American Indian Studies and American History at the University of Washington in Seattle. She also became a historical researcher for television documentaries. Very exciting. Lots more that she has done, and we'll get the opportunity to speak to her after this commercial break. So I certainly hope that you could join us on Sides of Life Radio. And we come back from the other side of the break, we'll be joined by Beatrice Marks. Talk to you soon.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
Have you lost a loved one and feel that they are gone forever? Do you sometimes wonder how people can continue meaningful lives after devastating grief takes hold? Come join Forever Family Foundation in Connecticut on July 25th through the 27th as they host a special, all-inclusive weekend of sharing, learning, exploring, and discovering. This weekend will not only deal with the challenges of loss and grief, but professional facilitators and mediums will also focus on ways we can all communicate with deceased loved ones and maintain our relationship with them. Attendees will be experiencing grief recovery techniques, spirit communication by certified mediums, meditations, psychic development exercises, and will also learn about some of the scientific evidence that we survive physical death. The weekend will feature small workshops for a relaxed and hands-on experience. Bereaved parents can also register for a separate program starting on the evening of July 24th through the 25th. For more information, visit www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707. That's www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org, 631-425-7707. Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed Gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
And And welcome back to Signs of Life Radio Light. I am your host, Angelina Diana. So happy to be with you this evening or afternoon if you're listening to us on the West Coast, or even if you're listening to us from the world, you have an opportunity to go to BBS Radio and listen to the programming either through your phone, or if you have internet access, you can do that as well. I'm very pleased and actually honored to introduce to you our next guest on Signs of Life Radio Light. Beatrix Marks was born and raised in France and moved to Seattle in 1998. She worked many years in the corporate world, both in Europe and the U.S., but something made her follow her dreams. Something pushed her to start to study American Indian Studies and American History at the University in Washington. She kind of broke out of that, I'm assuming, that corporate mold, and really started to follow what she needed to do, to the point where she opened up and wrote her first book called Real Love Stories Never Have Endings. Beatrix Marks, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on the air. Oh. I'm really happy to be able to be with you and share my book, all of the stories.
I think it's wonderful, and I do suggest that you purchase this book, because it's very, the transformation from beginning to end, the discovery of the unseen world is really laid out beautifully in this book. But why don't we talk a little bit about you growing up, because I understand you had somewhat of an encounter at the age of 11 with the unseen world. Do you want to share a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, actually, that's when it all started. I lived in the family house that my grandfather had built, and my grandmother on my maternal side had passed away 2 years before. And when she was alive, she always told me that she would give me her alarm clock, because she would never ever go anywhere without it in her bag. So it was a kind of old one, you know, that you rewind. And so anyway, she passed away, and I got the alarm clock, and it broke not long afterwards. But I always kept it, and I put it on the shelves, you know. And I was in my room, and every evening, you know, I would just say good evening to my grandma. That's all. And one day I was just, you know, one evening I was looking at the alarm clock and talking to her, you know, probably sharing my thoughts of the day. And just each time I looked at it, I felt connected. And so anyway, and I say good night. And all of a sudden, the alarm clock that had been broken for 2 years just started to ring in a very, very loud sound. And so it was just very surprising, but I was really happy, because immediately I knew it was her acknowledging me, you know. And so I took the alarm clock in my hands, turned it around, and tried to rewind it, and it was broken. You know, the mechanical system was broken. And so anyway, I just put it back there, and that's how it all started.
So knowing only you know the family you grew up with, could you share a little bit if they had those experiences, or were you brave enough to tell them about what happened?
Yeah, and I don't recall exactly the chronology of it all, but as I said, we lived in the family house that my grandfather had built. And so I think that since they had passed away at that time, I think they were still around, you know, and my mom once even told me that her mother-in-law, so my grandmother, all of a sudden appeared next to her at night, you know, next to the bed. And so I guess she was not that afraid of it, because she just shared it with, you know, astonished, but that's all. So that's all. We were not really connected or, you know, doing magic or anything. But I guess there was really a feeling of love in this house, in this home. And I always felt the presence of my grandparents around. And later, a few other occurrences happened. Like I had a record player, you know, the old kind.
Yes.
And it was next to my bed. And one night I got awakened by it. It had just started working by itself, you know.
Wow.
And so it never scared me, because I knew that they were spirits, definitely, because no one was around me in my room and it was night, you know. But I felt okay. I was really open without even questioning it. I think that's a big point here. It's just mm-hmm. to be open to it.
Right.
Because I have a sister, for example, and she never experienced anything like that. And after my parents passed away and a lot of communication started to happen between them and me, and I would tell my sister about it, and she would say, how come you receive all of these contacts, all these messages and all of that? Nothing happens to me. And so I said, well, maybe because you're scared, you're not open. I don't know, you know. And I think that indeed a lot of people are scared about opening up, you know, accepting the fact that there is no real boundaries between the other side and our side.
Right.
You know, it's like telepathy. If you think about somebody and all of a sudden the phone rings,
exactly.
And you think, oh, that's so funny. I was just thinking about you.
Right, but we're sending thoughts to the living all the time. And from what I'm hearing, you believe that the other side can send us thoughts and we could pick up on them.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
So I know we have an audience that listens to us that are scientific, but also we have an audience of those that are grieving and wanting to have communication like you had. I know you explained it, how it happened to you, but did anything internal happen to you? Like when you say you feel the presence of your parents, for example, what happens to you? How do you know that it's them?
Well, there are various ways. Like, I was really happy when that happened. For example, thinking about my mother, it was a year after she had passed, mm-hmm. and I all of a sudden talking about her, I smell the perfume, her perfume in the room.
Wow,
and
that's good.
I was with my daughter, and we were talking about her, and all of a sudden that happened, and it lasted a few seconds, and then it went away. The phone rang many times, and it was really the year after my mom passed. We would talk about her, and the phone would make weird noises, you know, electrical interferences. In terms of direct communication, I know that it happened a lot when I felt lonely. I missed them, and I would talk to them. Mm. And then it just kind of like a warm message, you know, a warm hug, I would say, but spiritually, you know, kind of saying,
right.
Don't worry, all is well, you know, you're not alone, we're here, we're well, we love you. And so I've had this kind of communications, and I think that if you believe in this, in this possibility, and if you are open to it, and if you start paying attention to signs, then you will recognize that it is your loved ones that are communicating. You know,
how did you, because everybody grieves differently.
Uh-huh.
I'm curious how you balanced the feelings of grief and then receiving a message. Does that change over time where you're less emotional because and you're able to receive the messages easier? Or did you find because you were grieving heavily, it prompted you naturally to seek them out?
Yes. And the fact is that initially I was grieving and grieving, and there was nothing to help me out when my parents died. You know, it was the worst. My father, then 2 years later, my mom and my brother. And it was just, you know, life went on. But I could not talk about them without just crying and crying and crying, you know.
Did you still find that you received information?
Well,
from
not
them
really at that time, because I didn't really know. You know, I knew, for example, these phones. I would say, oh, that's, you know, that's interesting. The phone is ringing weirdly now. And each time we talk about my mom, it's like this. But I missed the direct communication with them.
I hear you.
It was my interpretation, you know, hearing the phone making weird sounds each time we were talking about my mother, or the bulbs. I can't count how many bulbs we changed in that house. Each time we would talk about my mother, it was the bulbs and the phone, you know. And one day, after the perfume incident, I felt that I really needed to look for answers, to research the topic. Until then, I had even though the first incidents had started when I was 11 years old, I just took them like that. Oh, here is, you know, here is one, here is two. But at that time, I thought, okay, now I need to investigate. I need to research more. I need to learn. And I was like crazy, buying all the books I could find and reading and trying to understand and discovering that, yes, the perfume was something that could happen. You know, I didn't know before that. And until one day I found the name of a medium. And I called her, and she was, I think, in Utah, Arizona, I can't remember. And I thought, okay, and I'm not the kind of person who's going to believe just like this, you know.
Right, right.
And so I thought, okay, let's see a little bit what she's going to do now. So I didn't give her any information at all, and we sat, and I even had prepared a tape recorder, you know, the kind that you push the button to. You know, it was in 1999. And here's the session. The session starts, and I'm really still, you know, not saying one word, letting her do the talk and waiting for some kind of flaw.
Right.
Well, the first thing is that the tape recorder, even though I had tried and tested it before, would not start. As soon as we started the conversation, the session, the tape recorder didn't want to work. And then here comes this lady talking on the phone and starting to channel my mother and using sentences and voice connotations and ways of talking of my mom.
Wow.
So my mom was French, right? This woman was talking in English, yet translating the same kind of, you know, sentences that my mother would say. So then I started to open up and say, oh, what's that? And so we started talking. And then it was about half hour later, my father comes through.
Wow.
And here she is giving me more personal information, you know. And there was no doubt that it was them.
Yeah, she gave you the evidence that you needed.
Oh yeah, evidence, completely evidence. You know, things that belong to first names and things that belong to my parents, and then came through my brother.
Wow.
Each time she was saying, "Okay, now we're ending the session," she says, "I can't. Now there's a new one coming," and so it was a family reunion. I was there with my father, my mother, and my brother, and it was a family reunion.
That's beautiful.
Oh, I left the room, and from that day on, I could not grieve anymore because they were not dead. I knew they were not dead. They were no longer with a body, but they were still alive in a different dimension.
Right.
You know? I knew they were around, and they have been all along. And I think it's important. And when I see people grieving, I want to tell them, you know, they're okay. They love you. They see you from where they are. They're back home. We'll go there afterwards. Right. All is fine. And they don't want us to be sad. And I've noticed that each time I've felt sadness or loneliness or I've missed them, not long afterwards, I have a sign.
That's beautiful. Now, do you ever directly ask them for a specific sign and then they show it to you?
Oh, not necessarily, you know. But once, for example, I was in my house and the TV was off and I was listening to the radio. And Louis Armstrong song played And it was my dad's favorite song.
Aww.
And so I just opened my arms and I danced and I said aloud, I said, "This is for you, Daddy."
Aww,
and all
so
of a
sweet.
Sudden, the TV screen went shrinking, you know, with the electrical lines on it.
Mm-hmm.
And the TV was off.
Wow.
To me, that was it. I knew my dad was there with me.
That's evidential, for sure. And
of
they do
course.
Play with a lot of things with currents in them or water running, televisions, radios. They can play with that energy. I am still curious to wonder if you say you feel sad and you are fortunate that you understand how the other side works and you know that you're receiving communication. I am curious to know if you have ever started a communication and then they've come to you, meaning you didn't think about communicating with them before you knew, you just knew it was them. But have you ever had moments where it's like, okay, Dad, I want to talk to you, and he is interactive with you after you ask a question or after you remind him of a memory of the two of you? Has communication appeared that way for you?
You mean them contacting me before I contact them?
I mean the other way around. You contacting them.
Yeah.
And then they arrive.
Yes, that happens. Yes, it has happened, and a lot with my father. A lot with him, and sometimes at night before falling asleep, you know, I would tell him, I'd say, "Dad, come through and, you know, just be with me tonight," because I well, from what I've read, it seems that our the wavelengths, you know, of our wavelengths when we sleep are closer to the wavelengths, you know, of the deceased people.
Yes.
And so
yes.
It happened many times like this, that he would go through, and I was just really happy, you know, just to, he would come through, and it's different than a dream, because when he comes through, it's just, it just appears like a snapshot image.
Right.
You know, very, very close image, and I know that's him.
Good.
And I know that one day he told me same thing, you know, through, it's not talking, it's through telepathy. He told me that I should stop trying to contact them and just go on with my life, that I was on Earth for a reason and that all was well, but that I needed to stop, you know, because I, at that time, I was more interested in connecting with them or in almost going on the other side, you know.
I hear you.
Than living my own life.
Mm.
And so I said, okay.
Yes, you listen to them. We're speaking with Beatrice Marks, who's an author who's written her first book called Real Love Stories Never Have Endings, After Death Communication and Other Messages from Beyond. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion on this very inspiring book. We'll talk to you soon.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Many people, just like you, hope that we continue to another existence after we die. It's a nice thought, but could it really be true? The answer is yes. There is an overwhelming amount of scientific evidence that tells us this is so. On July 29th, Come hear medical doctor and university professor, Dr. Piero Calvi Parasetti, as he shares a visual presentation of the life after death evidence at Long Island University in Brookville, New York. Dr. Parasetti, also a noted psychotherapist and bereavement specialist, and former humanitarian advisor to the United Nations, can show you how to turn simple hope into deep knowing. He will be joined in the second part of the evening by certified medium Laura Lynn Jackson, who will demonstrate spirit communication as further evidence of an afterlife. Advanced reservations are only $15 for members and $20 for non-members. For reservations and information, visit foreverfamilyfoundation.org or call 631-425-7707.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio Light. I'm your host, Angelina Diana, and we've been speaking with Beatrice Marks, who's written a beautiful book called Real Love Stories Never Have Endings. I have her on the line with us now. Welcome back.
Welcome. Yes, thank you. I'm still here.
We were talking off the air about a couple of things. I think it'd be really noteworthy to share them with our listening audience. That idea of the fact that you're so open and you do it with good intentions to be open. You feel spirit around you. We'll also talk about how you've received higher messages of love. But I'm really curious for you to share the story about in your book about the woman who lost her son. If you could share a little bit about that and your feelings about when you receive information and it doesn't necessarily belong to you, what is the next step? You know, do we tell the person? Do we not tell the person? Do we allow spirit to take care of it? What are your feelings on this?
Well, I think that I'm going to talk about my friend. So she lost her son at war in Afghanistan a few years ago, and so she saw, you know, the priest coming at the door and telling her that her son was dead. You can imagine.
No.
And then I went to the funeral, and you know, it was terrible. Of course, it was terrible, and I was so surprised. They brought a box with the ashes in the cathedral, and to me it was even worse, you know, to see that box because you wonder, where is my son? Yeah. And we went to bury him after the ceremony. And my friend was, she was lost her eyes. She was not here. she was lost. And everything was surreal. And, you know, I looked at all the scene, and there was the table with the American flag, you know, and then, you know, you had everybody listening, and all of a sudden, and I was looking at between the table and my friend and the table, and all of a sudden on the table, I see her son, and her wow. son was sitting on the table and just kind of cheerfully, swinging his legs on and off, you know, looking at the scene. And it was in such contradiction with the sorrow, the pain that my friend was experiencing. I wanted to go and tell her, look, don't be sad. Look, he's here. He's fine. He's okay. You know, he's still around. Of course, I could not do that. And I waited actually a few weeks before telling her because, you have to wait, I think, in the grieving process. It is so surreal. It is not acceptable. It is, you cannot just go too fast with the process. We each go at our own pace, and I had to respect, you know, that. And so a few weeks later, we had lunch, and I told her, I said, you know, I just wanted to let you know, and I explained it to her. And she knew me because we've been friends for more than 10 years, and she knew about experiences in that field that I had myself. And so she was really open to it, and I described her the scene and the emotions on her son's face. And she said, oh, my God, that's exactly how he would have been at his own funeral, you know. And it brought really relief for her. And then time went on, and she was still looking for answers. And so she decided to write a book on a quest for answers. And so she went and interviewed leaders in all the religions that are existing, you know, today on Earth. And finally, at the end, she had a session with a medium, and her son went through and talked to her. And again, that is what she needed. All of these human explanations, versions of what happens at the end, it's fine. But what we all want to know is just to hear a word from our loved ones.
Yes.
And when we have the opportunity to just have something, some kind of proof, you know, a word or anything, then we're fine. No matter what religion you are in, it's fine. Your loved ones are still there.
There we go. We actually have a caller on the line that has a question for you.
Uh-huh.
We'll take them now. Hello.
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 Hi. Is that me?
What's your first name?
My name is Marla.
Marla, thank you for calling Signs of Life Radio Light. Do you have a question for Beatrice?
Hi. Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, I just happened to come across this. I really don't know exactly what this show is about, but I was wondering if you could, from just speaking with me, get any energies that may be around me or
We can't do readings in this show. I'm real sorry.
Okay.
But so if you have a general question about the other side or how to receive a sign or anything that's connected to our...
Yeah, well, then I would like to know that. I would like to know, how would I receive a sign?
Well, I think that if you are starting to ask yourself a question about something that happened that might be a sign to you, then maybe you are on the right path and you just need to follow your heart, and then you won't have to question that sign because you will know for sure that it is a sign. You know? It can be just a bird stopping right in front of you as you are thinking about the person you lost. It can be a feather that falls in front of you. It can be something that you haven't, that you've been looking for a long time, and that all of a sudden you find.
Does that make sense to you, Marla?
Well, to some degree, I'm just a little more confused than that. I mean,
well, I think if you have grief, if I may step in, if you have grief, sometimes it's hard to balance the days to look for signs. So sometimes it's a good idea to honor your grief. And maybe even ask when you're ready your loved one a specific sign that they might show you. So it's almost like proving ground for you. I think Beatrice will agree that spirit knows where you're at. They know that you might be in disbelief or might be in heavy grief. And I think spirit gives you what you need at the time, as Beatrice was speaking about that earlier. So maybe if you can do what she did, which was maybe before you go to bed at night, clear your life's issues and specifically ask your loved one for something specific like she did with her father. Does that make sense?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for calling. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, I really think that trying to, well, asking for communication at night before falling asleep is a good way, I think. Just opening our heart and with all the love we have and just asking for a sign.
Right.
You know, in my book, I tell the story of my mom, and it happened not long ago. When one day, you know, for no reason specifically, but I just, you know, think about her and I missed her and I say, oh, I wish you could see my kids and I wish I could share with you, you know, my house and my life and, you know. And then I felt, as I was sad, I felt just something that kind of calmed down the sadness, kind of removed it, lifted it. And then I, you know, night came, I went to bed, I woke up with two words in my, in, you know, two words just like that, mm-hmm. in my, in just like imprinted. And so I look on the internet, I type these two words, they were French words, and the two words were the name of a singer and the name of a song. And when I looked at the lyrics of that song, it said, though my loved ones are not there, I'm still here with you.
Oh, wow.
And I talk about it in the book because it was just, I could not believe it. And the singer was from my mom's favorite place on earth, which were the West Indies.
Wow.
You know, how can you imagine? You know, to me, there's no boundaries. They can do anything.
It's true. It's very true.
If they want to show you that they are there, if they want you to feel, you know, happier, go through that grief, you know, they will try anything.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think it's because they do know what we're feeling and what we're thinking. And they sometimes, you know, I think when you're grieving, you want to hear or feel certain things that you need for yourself. But like with your example, you received what you needed versus you didn't know you needed that, but your mom did, you know? And I think that that's even more striking and more evidential. It shows that they're an individual. They're not copycatting what you need to hear. They're going within on a deeper spiritual level to say, this is what my daughter needs.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and I think it's so beautiful how you put all those validations together to read a message. And I think, you know, maybe you might want to address, you know, the impatience that you could sometimes feel when you're not getting the sign when you think you're getting it. I mean, would your response maybe be, well, maybe you need to see what you're getting and it's their signature energy because everybody's different.
Yeah. You know? And to me, because I really feel that they're having their own life now, wherever they are. You know, when I ask for communication, when I ask, you know, I say, hey, it's been a long time now. Could you just show up and say hi? You know, when it doesn't happen, I think, okay, maybe I should just let them, you know, have their own life now. And, you know, it's kind of light, you know, that I'm the way I'm saying it. But I honestly think that they've been so present, so good at giving me signs that I should, you know, I should let them be now where they are and go on with my life on Earth. Mm-hmm. I know at some point I will meet them there, they'll be there, and it will be right. A big reunion.
Exactly. So, could it also be that possibly the other side is trying to make you look at something else, and we're just not aware of maybe how they would deliver the message? You know, like my mom on the other side would deliver messages differently than, say, your mom. You know, mm-hmm. they're two maternal figures, loving maternal figures, but how they would send a message is different than what I would want. Like, I would want my mom to show me a couple of things, but she always finds a different way to not listen to me, but give me what I need at the time for whatever lesson I'm going through. And that's how she was as a mom.
Uh-huh.
So that's evidential in that way.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty striking in how they work. You know, they're very much aware of how they send information, and they know our limitations, I think, from receiving them.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think the main message, I think that actually we are selfish. We are so sad when we lose someone. We do not want to let them go. And we are the ones asking for their communication. We don't want to lose them. And and so that's why they feel the sadness. They feel our emotions, and that's why they come through, you know, to answer our emotions. Now I can give you another example among others.
Please.
Of the family, you know, real love stories never have endings. To me, it means that even when family members are gone, they're still here, they still love us forever. And we don't have to ask them to come through to reassure us, for them to come through. A few months ago, my daughter gave birth to her fourth child. And my mom was there when my daughter was born. She attended the birth. And so we were in the room, and she had just delivered the baby. We were allowed to go in the room, and we're looking at the baby, at my daughter, and all of a sudden all the lights of the room stopped working. The electricity was down. In the room. So once for a few seconds, then again, second times, and then third times. So you can imagine the nurses were crazy. What's going on? You know, because the baby was maybe half hour. You know, and so it's really important at that time to have all of that ready for the baby. And so the fourth time, my daughter and I, we looked at each other and we said, oh, okay, the family is here. They're acknowledging the birth of baby. You know, and that was it. And
that's
then
beautiful.
The nurses didn't have a clue. They did not know. But we knew. And it was really so wonderful to share this moment of joy, of happiness.
It's
to
a beautiful
know that
story.
They were there, you know.
Well, we're speaking with Beatrice Marks, the author of Real Love Stories Never Have Endings, After Death Communication and Other Messages from Beyond. We have another caller on the line that would like to speak with Beatrice. Let's speak to Juan on line two.
Yeah, I think it's Mark. He got confused.
I wanted to know if
American Indians that practice, if American Indians practice mediumship commonly, like we do. Are you there? You cut me off.
Yes, we're here. No, we hear you. Did you understand the question?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mark has a question about the American Indians, if they look at after-death communication the same way that Americans do.
Well, I think that the culture is, how would I say that, denies less things. Their culture is more open. It is known that the spirits have a very strong influence on the living world. You know, there's strong connections between the spiritual world and the physical world. Mm. In our societies, it is kind of taboo. It's been forbidden by the church for so long,
right.
You know. And so it was writing a book like I wrote even 30 years ago, you know, I could have had problems. I know that in France, it is still something that people do not believe in.
Wow.
The Catholic Church condemned, you know, everything related to spirits. So
right.
It's very strong in the American, in the Native American cultures, you know, all the various tribes do, of course, do believe. I mean, it's part of their culture, you know.
That's good to know. Well, thank you for the question, Mark. We really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, I know that you had experiences at a young age, and of course, and unfortunately, you know, with the passings of your loved ones, have you ever received anything other than people you've known, like different realms, so to speak? Any information that you've received in that way?
Yeah, and it's actually, it evolved little by little, you know. At 11 it started, and then it evolved, and then my parents came through, and then I did some research. And little by little, the realm of the other side expanded and opened up to different ethereal entities. So a big major one that happened to me was the visitation of an angel, and that was the most beautiful moment, I would say, in my whole entire physical life. It took me, you know, in his, he hugged me, I don't know how to explain that, and I felt an immense feeling of love that words cannot describe, an unconditional, pure, protecting love.
Wow.
You know? And little by little, as I meditated more and I felt more and more connected to the universe, it's as if the barriers, you know, the boundaries between the physical world that we see and the other side, the unseen world, as if it were disappearing. And I did receive some messages from other entities, I would say, about, you know, the main message I received was about love. Mm-hmm. And this message came from different entities at various in various instances, and it's all about love and how critical it is to love each other, to love the earth, to love nature, and that, you know, not love like I love my husband, I love my kids, you know, bigger than that, an unconditional love for everything that is in our universe, you know, the trees, the water, everything. And if we start sending vibrations of love around us with a ripple effect, we can really change the world. And, you know, when people were starting to be afraid of 2012 and the end of the world,
yes.
I think that, in fact, it was the end of the world as we've known it until now, and that since then, there has been a big movement toward that, a better world, a loving world. And I think that we each have in our power to bring this new world in, you know, into reality. And I've received several messages on and on, and I really, and actually I had to write this book. And, you know, it's just messages I received and I had to put them on paper so people can read it, so that they can just stop a little bit and just think about it. You know, yes. What does it mean? What can I do?
Well, it is a very beautiful book. It's called Real Love Stories Never Have Endings, After Death Communication, and Other Messages from Beyond, written by Beatrice Marks. I want to thank you so much, Beatrice, for joining us this hour and inspiring us to look a little further into the unseen world. You'll realize that they're right with you. Thank you so much, Beatrice.
Thank you for having me. Thank you very much.
Pleasure's all ours. We do have to wrap things up. I want to remind everyone that your loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. I'll be seeing you in another month.